I call my podcast In a Perfect World because I have this faith that it is a perfect world, despite all the horror and the terror and the evil that seems to be loose upon the world. And with that introduction, I'd like to bring Mr. Max Egan to our listeners today. Max, you do a very, very popular internet radio show called, what's crowhouse.com is your website.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of your topics, I guess, are looking at, I guess, tackling head-on a lot of that so-called evil in the world, a lot of that disambiguity that the powers that be sort of spin around us, that illusion of, and the control mechanisms.
Well, what I try to do on the show is state the obvious. I really do. I mean, I try to take what people seem to make really complicated and just put it all on the table and say, look, guys, this is what's happening. You know, and that's what it is. And the show's called Surviving the Matrix. And because it is like a matrix, the system that we live in, it's this fictional system that only exists on paper. These guys have written all these rules down, and they teach you all through life that this is how reality works. And we just sort of tend to go along with it, and we forget ourselves along the way, and we forget each other along the way. But it's a fictional system. The whole thing's fictional. It's just an idea. It's just a meme. And saying that it's a perfect world is a great thing to say as well, because even with the system the way it is, it's all perfect because it's the experience we need to have, and it all provides the opportunity for us to deal with this situation. Mm. This whole system has been designed to kind of disempower us, you know. But without having our power completely removed, I don't believe we will ever claim our power, you know.
Is that true, though? I mean, previous cultures that exercised more control over their government seem to be more empowered, and, you know, it's almost like that hardy settler type of, you know, person who is really connected to their ideals, to their local community, who's empowered in that sort of model, which we've lost in maybe the 20th, 21st centuries. You know, there's been a lot of erosion of our personal power, separation of people in the way we live.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the whole system that we live in now has been designed to do that. The whole system has been designed to create separation. Mm. You know, but to me, I mean, I have this positive attitude where I see everything as an opportunity. Every problem that we face, I see it as an opportunity to fix the problem, to be aware of the problem. There's a lot of people within this society, because of the training that they've had, which is all directed completely at left brain, people have become completely disconnected from themselves, they become disconnected from their community, and disconnected from reality. Mm. You know, so they need a kind of a slap in the face, and many of these people are so asleep that it's going to take until they're, you know, kicked out of their houses or something, until they suddenly wake up to the fact that the world doesn't have to be like this. I mean, you and I know it, a lot of people know it, and we work and try to wake other people up to it, but there's so many people who are just locked into this left brain television education understanding of the world, this business economic model that they feed them.
Wait a sec, isn't there a catch-22 in that, you know, the way you're saying then is that we're being taught to awaken by the powers that be is to remove, you know, the support mechanisms. And
well, it's not that we've been taught to awaken, it's that every action has an equal and opposite reaction.
But don't they know that as well? Like, in every civilization, in every history, there's been people that control.
Well, yeah, you'd think that they'd know it, but, I mean, I guess they do know it. But, I mean, it has to happen. I think it really has to happen. Humanity has to wake up to what's going on, and it may have to get worse before they do. But I think it'd be really easy to fix it all.
Wait a second, Max. What is going on?
What is going on?
Well, yeah.
That's the million-dollar question. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the million-dollar question. I mean, look at the place. Look at the planet. We've got this society that seems to exist purely to extract resources from the planet. That seems to be the whole purpose of this civilization. Everything that we pull out of the earth, we use to maintain our lifestyle. But look at our lifestyle. Our lifestyle is living in temporary accommodation because we don't build anything to last. This whole civilization hasn't built anything that will last 1,000 years. If everybody ceased to exist on the earth right now, and this civilization was just left standing here unattended, in 1,000 years from now, it would all be turned to dust. The only thing that anyone would find if they came along was all the stuff that we found. The pyramids and the Mayan ruins and all these ancient structures that we can't build, you know. Mm. So it's really weird.
Is it like we're temporary migrants that don't have a green card?
Well, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like that, yeah. But we don't build anything to last, and we just keep extracting stuff from the earth. It's all about consumerism. So we take everything out of the earth and turn it into rubbish and pull more stuff out.
What do you think the level of consciousness that has that attachment to consumerism and to the way that it it copes, its ability to see the world for what it is and to its adaptation strategy. Is this the best adaptation strategy of a species that seems to have been almost, you know, like, maybe not mortally wounded, but greatly affected its mother planet, like its host, and now we're learning the repercussions?
Well, that as well. I mean, yeah, you can look at it at a really broad spectrum. I mean, yeah, absolutely. We will certainly learn the repercussions if we don't realise what we're doing. But I think we can realise what we're doing. I still think we can turn it around. I still think we can save everything and change everything. Mm. It's simply by changing our perspective of reality. This is what I try to talk about on all of the shows, understanding that we are all connected. You know, we may all be individuals, but we are all one. We can be all one, and we can be individual. We're all our individual frequencies, and once we can connect with each other and start treating people like ourselves, treat everybody like ourselves, we only need one commandment, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's it. That's all we need. Mm. If everybody did that, all of the problems would disappear straight away, overnight, by simply connecting with each other, by understanding what community is, putting common unity back into community. Mm. Everything. You know, that all of the systems that we've got in place are there, and when you really step back and look at them, they seem to, the purpose of them seems to be to prevent humanity from ever coming into its full potential, and to keep humanity enslaved to this meme, this fictional system, in order to strip mine the planet. I mean, I can't see anything else that's going on here. And we're all losing sight of ourselves. We're all losing sight of everything that makes us human. Mm. And I believe the way to fix it all is for us to simply connect with each other and start treating each other as equals and like each other, seeing that each of us is as important as each other.
I guess that's almost a very religious impulse, you know. It's something which we could call spiritual these days, or it could be just a recognition of, again, you know, a species survival of what we really are, you know, that collective, not just the individual.
Well, we all feel so separate from each other. Mm. We're all living in societies where we seek, well, the majority of people seek social status, or they seek monetary gain, financial gain, professional gain, whatever. They seek whatever this vision that's been given to them by society of what success is. Mm. They seek all this stuff that's external to themselves. A new car, new house, new wife, all this stuff, climb to the top of the pile. And when they get there, they find that they've got all this stuff around them, and they're still miserable because they never found out who they were along the way. You know, I did a show recently where I talked about relationships, and I said that in a relationship, many people look for a band-aid or dependence in another person, and we do that with our society as well, with our jobs and with all the situations that we find ourselves in. We're always looking for gratification from other people. We're always looking for approval from other people. We're never comfortable with being who we are, right? If we were to have a relationship where we were on our path and we were comfortable with who we were, and our only aspiration for our partner was to help that person be themselves to their fullest potential, and we were to both have that relationship like that, it would be a perfect relationship. And if we could bring that out to our community and realize that we are all as important as each other, and we are all in this together, and we can all just suddenly start helping each other, and the whole world would change. It's so simple that no one can see it. It's so simple and it's so obvious.
Is it cosmic socialism?
Well, I don't know what you'd call it, whether it's any type of ism. I call it humanism. Mm. You know, just being a human being.
A human being.
Being a human being. Mm. I mean, it's so easy.
So wait a second. Why isn't everyone a human being?
Well, we've been trained not to be. We've been trained because all of our education. Again, we come back to our education. Mm. We are taught that what life is about is the one with the most wins. That's the purpose of life.
Isn't this sort of a Victorian era legacy of the factories and having to train up larger sects of the population? It's a social engineering thing done by successive governments as they shape consciousness to their agenda. So, you know, it's become an advertising thing, it's been a consumerist thing. What is it evolving into now, do you think?
Well, it's all designed to separate humanity more and more from itself, to remove everything from humanity that makes humanity humanity, and then to offer them this new version, you know, transhumanism.
Yeah, right.
You know, like the internet, microchips, implants, all these things. So that
I can have
a mobile phone connected to me so that I can talk to you across the other side of the planet without having to dial. I could have it in my head as a chip, you know, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, when you really look at reality and you start looking at quantum physics and you start looking at biology even, you start looking at the work of people like Bruce Lipton, all sorts of quantum physicists and all sorts of biologists, and you realize, even with DNA, you realize that only 3% of our body is active. Only 3% of our DNA is active. That 3% of active DNA gives us access to five senses. So we're only experiencing a very, very small part of reality. We're only experiencing a very small part of it. If we could activate more of our DNA, if we could activate our pineal gland, we would be able to connect with more of reality around us. We'd be able to download information from reality around us and connect with higher senses and interact in ways that we would find remarkable at the moment, right? So what's been done is they've taken all that away from us, and now they offer us this cheap, clunky version. Everyone's taken to the internet. It seems very natural that we would have something like the internet. Instant access to communication. Instant access to people all around the world.
And it originally came from the military, didn't it?
Yeah, but what if we could do that anyway? What if we could do that anyway through our higher senses? And they take that away, and then they offer us this new high-tech version, which simply enslaves us to technology.
Do you think maybe the internet's like a training wheels for like digital telepathy? If it's like something, first we have to imagine it, then we can become it?
Well, yeah, but it's a digital version. That's the thing.
So they can control the
digital version. What if we could do it without the internet? What if we could do it already by activating higher senses that we already have?
What if the pressure of over 4 billion people on the planet living in cities in concentrated, you know, neural network overlays creates the digital internet telepathy thing which is in our species to become?
Actually, that's why it's done. That's why people say, like, I try to explain this to people, how we're creating reality by our collective unconscious, or whatever you want to call it, you know, by people's perception of what reality is. And people say, well, if you know this, why can't you change reality around you? I say, because this is a biological computer downloading a frequency from the surrounding field. And I've only got that energy field to draw from. And that energy field consists of the energy of 6 billion people who all think this is what reality is. So I haven't got much to work with from the start, you know.
So these really are the info wars, aren't they, in the sense that reality is up for grabs. If enough ideas take off and the internet transmits them now, and podcasts and you know, all the things we're doing help these ideas transmit very rapidly. So you have Facebook revolutions that sweep the world.
Absolutely. I mean, even the military are saying the internet was the worst thing they ever did. But in other ways, I mean, they're getting tabs on a lot of people who don't like them. They know where everybody is.
Do you think there's this permanent yin-yang dynamic? It's like the internet. It frees all these people to communicate, but then the military or whoever can watch them and listen in and shape at the same time. Like, who's shaping who?
We're shaping each other. Because, I mean, I don't care what the military think.
Yeah,
I don't care what any of them think. I speak openly about all this sort of stuff. I name names, and I call people criminals and liars and all this sort of stuff where it's due, because...
What have you got in Obama?
Obama?
Yeah.
What about Obama?
Well, where do you start?
Where do I start? I don't really want to talk about Obama. I don't trust the man. He's just another puppet on... He's just another puppet figurehead after a long line of puppet figureheads. He has no real value. And he has no real power. He's just a mouthpiece.
He was very enthusiastic and believable going in, even for the hardened cynics who really did want change. Like, they data mined the collective perception, the need, very well, and then they milked it. They totally detoned it.
It was problem, reaction, solution. Bush created all the problem, you know. The solution. We'll give you Obama. And Obama's just as bad as Bush. He out-bushed Bush in the first 12 months. Yeah. You know, he decimated.
But is that because Bush gouged so deep and he just reaffirmed most of Bush's policies which were already then existing?
Oh, yeah, he did all that, but he eviscerated what was left of the Constitution. He completely destroyed the First Amendment straight away. That was one of his first acts.
Everything's changing so rapidly. Bring me up to speed. What is the state of America like April 12, 2011?
Mate, it's almost gone. America is almost gone.
They just narrowly averted the gridlock in Congress about the budget, and now they're going to have funds to keep going by raising the debt ceiling yet again. It's gone broke. It's $14 trillion or something in debt.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. The money is just, they just keep printing it. It just comes from nowhere. You know? You just print this stuff and put it out there. You know?
It's all good pyramid marketing schemes.
Yeah, it's like toilet paper, but they're doing all sorts of stuff. Like, they know everybody's getting really annoyed with them, so they put in all this TSA and all the transport agencies everywhere, so everyone's getting strip searched and going through microwave machines now. They've just banned homeopathy and naturopaths and all this stuff in North Carolina.
Do you think that's a precursor to Big Pharma then, you know, medicating the whole populace?
Absolutely. They're banning organic gardening all over the place.
Really? How can they ban organic gardening? Well, is it Monsanto seeds going into the organic gardening?
Yeah, they're bringing in all these laws like HR 875 and all this sort of
stuff. What's that about?
Well, it's basically saying that you can't sell any food, you can't sell any produce, you can't sell any you know, you can't. Basically, they're bringing in laws. They'll make it illegal for you to give a tomato to your neighbour. You know, like it's ridiculous. There's they've been raiding raw food stores and confiscating whole milk. They confiscated this family's organic cheese. I mean, it can't have any of these organic things.
Who is this? Like FDA?
It's the FDA. Well,
they're notorious gangsters. Jeez, should we be surprised?
Well, it's all these different little Gestapo agencies. But
here's the thing, so many of these agencies are making grabs everywhere across all the Western countries and the Arab countries and pretty much all around the world. It's like this last grab for power by the hierarchies.
Well, yeah, well, see, what they're doing is they're grabbing all the food. Like, they want to control all the food and they want to control basically everything. So the Monsanto and the FDA, they're basically bringing in genetically altered food everywhere because they'll get rid of things like DMT out of plants. The law's being brought in here to ban any plants from which DMT can be made.
In Australia?
Because this removes the interface from everything. This changes nature because that's the interface in everything. And if they can remove that, then even if we can ever get connected again, the interface won't be there. You know, so they're doing everything they can to remove us from who or what we are. All this genetically modified food, when you eat genetically modified food, it changes your DNA. Okay? DNA affects DNA. I mean, this is obvious, isn't it? I mean, if you're eating modified DNA, it's going to affect your DNA because it affects you on a genetic level. If you're eating the genes of something that's been treated, then it's going to affect you. It's of course it is. This is biology.
Is it?
Absolutely, of course. So all this genetically modified food, the chemtrails, everything that's going on, you find that the human race has been genetically modified.
So who the hell's behind this, Max? Who's the head of the pyramid, the eye in the pyramid here?
Well, that's the question. There's all sorts of groups. I mean, you know, you can call... I could sit here and I could convince you that it's the Illuminati, that it's the Jesuits, that it's the Jews, that it's the bloodline from way back, that it's...
the Republicans.
Aliens from Alpha Draconis, that it's reptilians... I could sit here and take you down any rabbit hole you like.
Is it all of the above?
Well, the thing is that I could convince you it's any of them. Any of them. So you've just got to step back and make up your own mind.
But wait a second, listen,
you can go down any rabbit hole you like. You really can. It's really difficult to say, okay, this is who is in charge, okay?
Yeah.
Because there's so many rabbit holes.
Who is the central intelligence?
Well, what is necessary, I believe, is for people to realise that it is going on and to connect with each other. And once we connect with each other and sort of basically stand up and say, hey, stop, we're not going to do this anymore, who they are will become glaringly apparent.
Well, that seems to be happening all over the world as the debt crisis worsens and countries go bankrupt. You had London just a few weeks ago, you had all the protests there. We've had all the other European, you know, protests. There seems to be, for whatever the reason with the governments, the people of the world are actually, you know, on a micro scale, erupting into little mini revolutions.
Well, they are. A lot of them.
When does it actually get to that critical mass, do you think, that it's going to be a worldwide revolution?
Well, a lot of the revolutions that we're seeing, I think, are pretty contrived.
Yeah, right.
I think what's going on in Egypt and especially in Libya is very much set up. Very notably, the first thing they did in Libya, the rebels who want freedom so badly from Gaddafi, one of their first moves was to set up their own central bank in the country.
Yeah, right.
So, what does that tell you? Well, we want to put in a central bank so we can enslave everybody in the country to debt. You know, that's our first move for freedom. Okay, now, back in 2002, 2003, when Bush named his axis of evil, it happened to be every country in the world that didn't have a central bank.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So they're going out there and they're creating all these little conflicts and putting in central banks all over the place, because when you control the bank, you control the government, and the central banks are designed to milk all the wealth of the country and transfer it into the hands of the central bank. okay, because of the way the currency works. It's this interest-based currency. This is what keeps everyone so busy running around all the time, so no one knows what's going on. They've all got to spend their time collecting paper. But there's never enough paper in circulation to pay off everybody's debt, because there's never enough put into circulation. No matter how inflated the currency gets and how much is in circulation, there will never be enough to pay off the debt, because the money itself has interest attached to it. So eventually, it forecloses all the way down the line, and everything of value gets transferred into the hands of those who issue the currency. Okay, so you've got this cartel of central banks, and you're going all out and starting these wars all around the world, putting in central banks in all these countries. That's what it's all about, getting the resources and putting in a central bank to get the rest of the resources and the people, get the whole country in debt. And it's a fictional system. It's a fictional system that only exists on paper, that enslaves people to paper, and it's this idea, this fictional system that's being used to transfer everything of real worth in the real world into the hands of those who control this fictional system. And because they issue the currency, they sit outside of the system. They just feed the paper into it.
Max, what do you think would happen then if the numbers of protesters that physically go out and protest on the streets actually applied these new techniques of realizing the sovereignty or the way the system really works, and applying it in a bit more of a strategic way?
Well, what they need to do is, rather than go out on the street, I mean, if they're going to go out and protest, they need to go and have a sit-down protest somewhere. Just walk to the town square or to the government building in your country, sit down there and set up camp and say, we're not leaving, and have the rest of the town bring your supplies and get the camp bigger and bigger and bigger and say, we're not leaving until you fix the problem. That'll be the way to have a protest, no violence at all.
Well, they're doing that in the Middle East recently as well, and then they get fired upon. Eventually, then, if it tests the authorities enough, it's going to come the crunch time.
Well, that's why you've got to try to connect with people. You need to have town meetings. You absolutely have town meetings, have film screenings, and have discussion groups after the film screenings, and talk about this stuff. And invite police officers in there, and invite council members in there to listen to the discussion. Ask them if they would please leave their uniforms behind, because uniforms seem to affect people in adverse ways, I've found, when you understand how energy works. That's a whole side topic. But you know, energy and sigils and uniforms affect people in energetic ways. So get people in there as real people and discuss these real issues. Because the way to fix all of these problems, the best form of protest of all, is non-compliance, peaceful non-compliance. But you need the whole community. You know, if everybody here in this town, was aware as to how the money system works, so how these governments are working, how all this tax system works, and just how the whole game works, and they all stood together in solidarity and said, no, we're not going to do it, because you, the government, only get your power from us.
But how likely is the people will be motivated, A, and then B, you know, focused enough to have that solidarity?
Well, that's why I unfortunately think it's going to have to get a little bit worse. I mean, you see what happened in the floods in Queensland. Everybody came together straight away. See what happened in Japan. Everybody comes together straight away. Whenever there's a disaster, everybody comes together. It may take an economic and social disaster before it comes together. Maybe that's what it's going to take. But I think they're putting enough neurotoxins in the food and weird stuff in the chemtrails, and getting people to have their mobile phones around them enough to hopefully, you know, maybe dispel some of this people thinking in this way. Like all this electromagnetic pollution that we're subject to, all the stuff in the food, the fluoride in the water, just creates this apathetic kind of a culture, this apathetic kind of society. And I think that's why people haven't woken up already. It's just too hard for them to get their heads around.
Well, what do you see then about, I guess, the alternative media at the moment that either reports on, or a lot of the documentaries that are coming out? You know, there's a separate stream of information than just what's on the mainstream TV these days. Like, the internet's the great connector.
Well, that's the new media, but there's also a lot of disinformation out there. People have to be given solutions. There's a lot of people out there that are talking about the problems. All these things that are, you know, problems. There's a lot of people saying, look, here's new ideas, here's things we can do. Cob housing, you know, all these new solar panels, all this new way of building all this stuff. But they don't get around the point that government won't let you do that. Government won't let you, you know, go and buy a property and try to build a cob house on it, or an eco dome or something like that, and the council won't let you. They'll say that, you know, this doesn't meet council approval. So people have to understand at the council that these are just our administrative arm. They're simply acting as trustees of the power that we give them. We're the beneficiaries of that power that we give them. They're supposed to make sure we've got roads and schools and all of the basic infrastructure we need to have a society. But suddenly they put all these rules in place that prevent us from being human beings and prevent us from helping each other, prevent us from helping the earth and doing things right and properly. We've got to give way to corporations and all this sort of stuff. And they're just dead entities. They're just dead entities made of sociopathic people who sit on the sidelines and let the dead entity rape the world, and they're removed of responsibility.
But they're very good at what they do.
They're very good at what they do.
Unfortunately, what they do is so evil.
Exactly, it is. But the reason people, you know, they get away with all of this, the reason all of these things are in place and they get away with it is because we let them get away with it. And we let them get away with it because we're educated to let them get away with it. We're educated that this idea is real, that this is the way the world is run. But it isn't. It's a complete scam. And we need to simply realise who and what we are, realise that we're all in this together, we're all as necessary and all as beautiful as each other, and start helping each other and treating each other with respect, and the whole system breaks down. Because it's all designed to create division, to make me scared of your success. You know what I mean? I don't want the other guy to succeed because I didn't succeed. Because I have to succeed because I'm taught that that is the meaning of life is success. Success is acquisition. I didn't acquire. I didn't get the girl. I didn't get the house. I didn't get the car. I'm not respected in my community for having been such a cool guy that the television tells me I should be. I'm taught that this is what reality is. You know?
It's almost Darwinian competition versus the actual cooperative model that
it's
is
incredible.
Actually... coming
it's incredible.
Back.
And as soon as we realise that that is not what reality is about, it's completely ridiculous. But what reality is about is helping each other. Service to the creation, I say to people. Service to the creation. That is everybody's purpose. Service to the creation doesn't mean I will serve you at the expense of myself, because I'm part of the creation too. I will treat you as myself, and I'll treat myself as you. Because why would I want any different for you? Why would I want any different from me? Why would I not want that from you? You know what I mean? That's the way I would like to be treated by everybody I meet. I would like them to treat me with the respect that they show themselves. Unfortunately, we don't show ourselves very much respect because we don't respect others. You know? This is the way it works. It's this conundrum.
The Mayans have the phrase, in Lakesh?
In Lakesh. I finish every radio show with in Lakesh. That's why I say at the end of every show. Actually, the first clip I ever published on YouTube was called In Lakesh, I'm Another Yourself. And it was an excerpt from a talk I did in Byron Bay.
What do you think to be like, not just here in Australia, but, you know, in America and all throughout the world? It seems that all the governments seem to be, whether chemically or information, like, trying to really suppress the people's intellect and awakening.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the reasons why the English language has been pushed as the global language. Because the English language is a very mechanical language. It's very disconnected from Earth. If you talk to natives the last real languages we've got are ancient Hebrew and Aramaic, which is why they're so intent on squashing the Arab nation. But the English language is a very, very mechanical language. Natives and Russian people, for example, anyone basically who speaks any other language, say that when they speak English, they feel very disconnected from the earth, very disconnected from nature.
Is something that in the vibration of the language and the flatness, there's no...
Well, English is a phonetic reversal of ancient Hebrew.
Is it?
So the vowels, the sounds that we make are phonetically reversed to ancient language, so ancient, really connected languages, right? So we're speaking basically in disharmony to the earth. You know what I mean? We're speaking in a way that's completely unnatural. So... And also, when you look at the language, you find that if you look at a dictionary from 100 years ago and look at a dictionary now, it's half as big now as what it was 100 years ago.
Well, they're cutting down all the...
Well, they've taken so many words out of the language, right? So most people, because all our education is designed solely to go to left brain. It's all directed to left brain. Left brain's a very mechanical way of thinking. It's all mathematical and logical and all this sort of stuff. It's very... There's nothing to do with energy or spirituality in left brain, right? So people always think in language. They think in left brain language. And so their perception of reality is based on their understanding of the language. So if you can reduce the language to the extent where you've taken all the meaningful words out of it, I think last time we were talking I mentioned Dharma to you. How you could write an entire book to explain the concept of Dharma to someone, before, and they'd still be grasping at straws trying to understand it. But if you were speaking Hindi, all you'd have to do is say Dharma, and they know exactly what you mean. You know, it's such an all-encompassing word. So we've had all of these things taken out of the language. If you read 1984, they talk about it in 1984,
Newspeak. Yeah,
they
yeah.
take all the words out which enable you to convey certain emotions and feelings to people. Like in 1984, the people didn't know the concept of revolution because there were no words in the language which dealt with revolution. So you knew you wanted to be free, but you didn't know how to talk to anybody about it because the words didn't exist. You just knew things weren't right and you wanted something else, but you didn't know what it was.
You can't put your finger on it because you don't have the word for it.
Yeah, because you don't have the word for it because you think in words, you think in language. Mm. It's because it's all left brain.
So that seems to be that there's been a deliberate dumbing down of the populace through language.
And
there's
this,
you know, now there's such a commodified, diluted appreciation of what English language is. It's like the average, I think they say, like the average vocabulary that we use in everyday life is like 100 words. Like very, very basic, very concrete, you know, needing things. Do you think that perhaps there's this antidote, this spell being put out by people like you who do podcasts, or people that tease out new language or tease out new meaning or regain old meaning, you know, putting ideas out there?
It's just putting the ideas of energy out there, getting people to understand that it's an energetic universe and you don't actually have to think about it in words. You can think about it in intuition as well, think about it in energy as well. Trying to get that out to people. It is waking people up, but it's an amazing thing what they've done, you know, like really. And you were saying before with the chemicals and the fluoride, it's all that as well, because fluoride inhibits higher brain function.
Yep.
You know, people just don't think too clearly. A lot of modern people can't even spell properly. But when you think that their understanding of reality is based on their understanding of the language, and they can't even spell the words.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
So what's the deal with the fluoride? I've heard that it accrues in the pineal gland, and you know, it sort of interferes with the third eye and the higher spiritual.
Well, it does. You get into subjects like DMT, which is what the pineal gland is about, is releasing DMT into the body, and the purpose of fluoride is to prevent that from happening. Because that's how you experience higher realms. It's how you experience higher understandings of reality. You know, is by having an active pineal gland. If you look at all the old yogis and all these things, there's always heaps of pictures and stuff of these guys with these illuminated foreheads. It's all about activating the pineal gland. People used to work their whole lives to do this, and what they've done with fluoride is make sure that from 8 years old, it's completely atrophied. In most Western people, by the time you've had 8 years of fluoride in your water, that's it. You know, it's completely.
Is that all it takes? Like a full 7 year cycle, and then it stays in you.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be a way of decalcifying it, but for young kids, are pretty connected. You know, they're pretty connected to nature. They know what's going on. Fairies in the garden and all that sort of stuff. You know, like, it's a different reality. Invisible friends, whatever you want to say. You know, but by the time you're 8 years old, you start thinking very, very left brain. You know, you get told what reality is. This is the way the system is, and you get slapped and you get it knocked out of you to think any other way but this way. You know, and the fluoride in the water calcifies the pineal, and it makes you sort of apathetic, and you don't really think that clearly, and you're kind of docile, and you just go along with what you're told. You know, that's
good
what
consumer.
Fluoride does. And it was used by the Russians in the gulags. It was used by the Nazis in the prison camps. Just to keep the prisoners controlled. Actually, Stalin found that when he put fluoride in the water, he could decrease his guards by 75%. So where it would take 100 guards to guard a camp, he could knock that down to 25 by putting fluoride in the water.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Max, that begs the question. It seems like there's like this strategic containment of the populace themselves. Like, fluoride went in about 47 in most of the Western countries.
Yeah,
I actually had a theory that maybe, because acid was discovered in 43, and there was always the thing of what if it gets dropped in the water supply of a Western country. But reading through a book called, I think it was Acid Dreams, History of Acid, they were saying they actually found that the main acid is actually counteracted by the chlorine in the water. So maybe it wasn't that, but I mean, as back as 47, you think they were anticipating DMT, or is it? Did they know that it also had that soporific effect on the populace?
They already knew about DMT. They already knew about this stuff. The elite that do all this stuff, they consume monatomic gold and they access higher realms all the time.
Yeah, right.
They know these realms exist. That's where all the gold goes. No one ever asks, where does all the gold go?
Right.
We spend all this time mining gold, and once we've got it out of the earth, we put it in these rooms and no one's allowed to touch it. So what's the point of that? Why pull all this? It's so valuable that we're not allowed to ever use it or see it or have anything to do with it. Where's it all gone? Now they've done tests on the gold in the Bank of England, and they Bank of England recently sent some gold to China. China cut it open, and they found it was actually tungsten bars that were gold plated.
No way.
So it's not even gold, because tungsten's got the same atomic weight as gold, so it can pass as gold really easily.
Ah.
All you got to do is put a gold thin gold coating over it, and it's like a gold bar. But it's not, it's a tungsten bar.
Tricky.
Okay. So where's all the gold in Fort Knox? Oh, that's gone. There was billions and billions of dollars worth of gold in the World Trade Center. Where's all that gone? Okay. It's all gone. Where's all the gold? Right, so they know about this. Now, if you really look at World War II, what you find is that World War II was basically, it was a beta test for what they're doing now. Right? It's all, the whole world's run corporately. Now they set World War II up, they had this terrible Nazi menace, and then this terrible Nazi menace did all sorts of experiments with mind control drugs and all sorts of stuff in the camps, right? And
the corporations were fronted the Nazis, they gave them all the money at the start.
All the Rothschilds, it was all financed by Rothschild banks the whole way. All the steel that Hitler used came from Ford Motor Company.
Yeah.
All the Zyklon D and chemicals all came from IG
Just Farman. Business, Max.
Just business, yeah. It all came from American and British companies. Hitler's banker was Prescott Bush, the president's grandfather.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's the whole thing. It's all. So they ran this beta test in Germany. They said, okay, here's how you put a whole country under mind control. They ran the beta test in Germany, and then our governments, the ones who financed Hitler and gave him all the stuff to do what he could do, came along as the knights on the white charges to save us from the terrible Nazi menace.
So it's global good said, cop, bad cop.
Yeah, yeah. And then they said, well, you know, in order to keep you safe from this ever happening again, we never want to face a threat as terrible as this again, so we're going to need to go out and put military bases in 168 countries and take over 168 countries in order to keep them safe
the
from
empire.
Someone like Hitler. So they build the empire. They created the United Nations, which was simply an extension of the Nazi empire. That's all it was.
Was it League of Nations before?
Well, they tried League of Nations, but the world rejected it. Everyone said, we don't want this. So they had this whole false flag thing, this whole good cop, bad cop, this problem, reaction, solution. That's all it was. Hegelian dialectic
on
the global
scale.
So
what I'm interested in, a lot of, I mean, conspiracy theory doesn't really cover it, because basically the entire world is a conspiracy. It's like everyone's got a vested interest and a hidden agenda somewhere along the line. You know, the powers that be, they don't let everything go public. But there's a certain amount of global political machinations which a lot of people know about. But this deeper level, it's not even quite spiritual, but it's esoteric, the esoteric agenda of the powers that be. Like, as far back as World War II, you know, mind control in the water supply with the fluoride, other tests they're doing, there's this concerted effort over multiple generations to basically cultivate the herd.
Well, absolutely, cultivate the herd, but also they only need enough of the herd to perform the tasks that they need the herd to perform. You know, so they don't need the whole herd, they don't need everybody on the planet. They only need enough people to run a machine. Now that we've got the whole infrastructure in place, we know where all the resources are, we've got the planet ready to be completely strip mined, and we're doing it already. They only need enough people to run the machine, and they don't want people that are smart enough to ever figure it out.
Yeah.
So you get all this genetic manipulation, all this misleading education, all the electromagnetic radiation that we're subject to. Get everyone with a mobile phone so we can track and we know where everybody is, we know who knows about us and who doesn't, we know where the areas of biggest awareness are, we can bombard
them. That's my question. Is that just something which they take advantage of as new technologies come up, or do you think there's been a concerted effort to go, right, we need from the outset to basically have something which we can control them by, you know, the whole telecommunications industry, the internet, have they been doing this not for the overt reason they say, but, you know, they've been doing it for controlling the populace, or is that just a byproduct?
No, they've been doing it to control the populace. See, look, before they came here, we've got to understand everything that you know about history. I mean, it all comes from books. We don't know who wrote these books.
The victors wrote
these books. We can find things lying around the planet that tell us that there's been major civilizations here that were completely different to this, much more advanced than this. Whether people might say, well, okay, how can you say they're more advanced? They didn't have computers like we've got. But hey, they built the pyramids. Mm. They built those Mayan ruins out of those huge mortarless fortresses and all that sort of stuff. They created some of the most perfect architecture and sculpture and stuff that
we still can't do.
Mm.
I mean, they obviously had a completely different technology to what we
have. They seemed to have a very deep connection with the stars. It wasn't just spiritual. It seemed very tactile in their interactions with aliens.
So you've got all these people, and what's happened to us is we've created this society that we don't create anything to last. It's temporary accommodation. All of us are living in temporary accommodation.
Yep.
Not one building we build is made to last. Nothing we do is made to last. And this whole society is designed to... we've got this money system in place. Everyone's always in shortage. So what we've got to do is we've got to work all the time. So they're always creating jobs. The jobs they create are basically destroying the planet.
Mm.
They're putting in roads, putting in mines, resources. We're just basically strip mining every resource we can out of this planet in order to sustain a debt-based society in temporary accommodation. That's what this civilization is, and we think we're civilized.
Mm.
But when we were back normally, like back living in the Egyptian times and ancient times, and when all of these fantastic things were built, we had access to our highest senses. That's how we did it all. You know, the fluoride and a lot of the things they've done have deprived us of those higher senses. So they take away all of that, which is all our connection with everything. How we can communicate with nature, communicate with plants, communicate with each other energetically and telepathically, which isn't so far-fetched. It's just higher senses. That's all it is.
But then does this go back, say, all the way to Egypt or Atlantis? Does it go prehistory, like more than 10,000 years?
Prehistory.
So basically,
well, maybe more than 10,000 years, but we don't know, because we can only really know back as far as three generations, can't we?
Mm.
Really, that's
living
all we
memory.
Really know.
Yeah.
Living memory. That's all we've
but then
really
does
got.
Does that imply then the so-called Illuminati or whoever they are, it's not just, say, founding families, but it goes back through the bloodlines to the, you know, prehistory?
Oh, absolutely it does. But there's different factions now, there's different groups that have found out, and it's just so complicated. It's a real web. But what I'm getting at is that they've removed us of so many of our higher senses. So what they've done with technology, such as the internet and mobile phones, is they provide us with cheap artificial versions of things we can already do.
Mm.
But they've got technology in them that allows them to monitor everything that we do with these devices.
Mm.
And we'll end up getting so used to everything being on a mobile phone. Your mobile phone will be everything soon.
Mm.
It'll be your computer, it'll be your connection to everything.
Mm.
And I don't even own a mobile phone, I've never owned one. Right? But that's what these things will end up being. And then it will be far more convenient to have a chip that'll do the whole thing.
And then I'll be able to
communicate to you by dialing you on the phone in my head. You know, so I'll be able to think and talk to you telepathically.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Through a computer chip. But that means that can all be monitored by those who are in charge of the computer chip, those who are in charge of the network. So they know what you're thinking there. So then thought crimes start coming into being.
So it is Planet Orwell, basically.
Well, absolutely. It's like a cross between George Orwell and Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. More like Brave New World than 1984, but very sort of close. But the reason, I mean, we take to this stuff so easily, the internet and instant communication and all this sort of stuff, we take to it like it's natural to us, because it is natural to us.
Yeah, there's a species sort of remembrance of it, isn't there?
Well, there is. We know we can do this stuff, so we think this is great. But if they were to leave us, if they were to take the fluoride out of water, and they were allow us to eat good, pure, organic food, and breathe pure air, in a matter of two generations, we'd have a lot more DNA active, we'd have our pineal gland active, and all this technology would pale into insignificance.
So
we wouldn't even want it.
What I still need to know is, someone benefits from this, right? And we have this language, or even say Illuminati, or the powers that be, or, you know, the empire, whoever. They're just words, again, in English, because we don't have the proper word outside of English to describe. How can they profit? If they're human and they're one of us, how can they be doing this to our species that we all share common ancestry with? I mean, what's the benefit to degrade and control your species like this little dip, you know, this empire? But, I mean, how can that be a long-term goal of evolution? Surely there's bigger forces at work, the drive for awakening and the drive for species awareness to transcend.
Well, absolutely, but well, you just got to wonder, even if it's human doing it, you know. I mean, nothing that's being done here seems to benefit the human race. I mean, really, the planet's been strip mined. Everything's been, you know, like, even with the fracking that's going on now, it's been strip mined. So it doesn't make sense for humanity to do this. I mean, fracking especially, because this is destroying the water table. And without a water table, we don't have a planet. If we don't have sweet water on the planet, we don't have life on the planet. That's everything.
So you think it's not just short-term gain consciousness, is actually an agenda which doesn't care if the planet's destroyed, because whoever they are can move on to the next planet? Or
Well, you've got to wonder. I mean, you look at Mars, that looks like it's been stripped on. You look at Earth, and, you know, it looks like it's heading that way. A lot of ancient Zulu legends talk about Mars. There's a lot of pyramids in Mexico that are actually Martian calendars.
Mm.
And you think, how would they even know this information? What's this doing here? You know, measurements like the cubit. The cubit works perfectly on Mars the same as a meter works on Earth.
Mm.
So where did the biblical cubit come from? It's a ridiculous measurement. It's a really, really strange measurement. So it's just not something that's natural to the Earth. So you've got to wonder who's in charge here, who's really in charge. I mean, either that or the human race is just completely insane, which is a possibility as well.
Yeah.
You know, but none of it really makes sense. You know, the whole system is designed to... See, the system itself is the problem. The system is designed to always make itself more efficient and to eat up everything around it. It's like a cancer. Mm. It's designed to dehumanize the human race to a point where we're just efficient. This efficient organism.
Automatons.
Automatons. And everything's just more and more efficient. And because people get fed this left brain education, they believe success is climbing high within the system, corporate, you know, or family-wise or business-wise or whatever. And when they get to a position in the system of any authority, what they work to do is to make it more efficient.
Mm.
So the system makes itself more efficient, constantly makes itself more efficient. People get within the system and they make the system more efficient. It's this self-feeding organism, this self-perpetuating organism.
But the system isn't more efficient, though.
It is for the system.
For the code that it's got, which is consumed.
If you think of the system as an energy form in itself, a meme, a life form.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a life form and all it wants is efficiency. Doesn't matter about the it's trying to get maximum gain for maximum exploitation.
You know what that sounds like, Max? It sounds like the Borg. It's like you will be assimilated.
Well,
But
the system itself that controls us, the system that the law system, the legal system, the education system, the monetary system, it's just an idea.
Mm.
It's an idea. We go by this. It's just rules on paper. It doesn't mean anything. It's not real. And it's this self-perpetuating organism that continually makes itself more efficient and discards more and more of humanity along the way. And it's eating up the entire planet. But it only exists on paper. It's just a meme. It's an idea. You know, we go to school with this education system. We get taught that this is the way the world is.
Mm.
And we come out of it. And
I wonder if there's something in an evolutionary growth phase of a species, though, where, you know, like one, it's like DNA, like one little wrong bit of code and then this cancer starts to grow. It doesn't replicate properly. So we've lost some original code which had some hopefully higher ideal that would have kept us sustainable in
What's happened is we've moved into fear.
Mm.
It's the fear. The fear of everything that we have, that drip in the back of your mind all the time. I'm worried about something. Am I going to have enough money to pay the rent? Am I going to be able to do this? Is the car going to make it through? You know, there's always a fear.
But it's a scarcity fear which has been put on us by the powers that be because of the system we have.
By the powers that be because of this monetary system puts everything in scarcity.
But originally...
So we've got this fear.
Do we have that scarcity?
Well, the original question of where the fear came from is could be religious-based. It could be go back to the cataclysm. There's a lot to suggest that it goes back to the last cataclysm that happened.
Yeah. Right? So flood and fear, you know.
Well, that would be like the flood of Noah. Mm-hmm. Right? The flood of Noah, there are reports, and even if you look at the Bible as well, you talk about Satan being cast down to hell amid fire and brimstone and massive chunks of ice. Right? You look at things like Velikovsky, Worlds in Collision, and you look at the theory that the Earth used to have a canopy, a water canopy, that possibly fell to Earth. But there's lots of reports. I mean, there's even the Sitchin stuff of the other planet that is the asteroid belt now. That was a water planet. And when that went off, that most of its oceans just got thrown out into space, and we sailed through that. The Earth sailed through that. And suddenly we had oceans falling to Earth. We had ice chunks, huge chunks of ice falling to Earth.
Right.
You know? So this is going to freak out a little bit. This happens for 40 days and 40 nights. You've got mountain-sized icebergs falling from the sky. Yeah. Because if there was a planet there that was a water planet, which is quite possibility there was, because there's all sorts of things to suggest it and all sorts of tests. So that possibly when that exploded or was hit by a comet or a meteor or whatever happened to it, the oceans were thrown out into space, and Earth actually passed through its orbit. And we, a lot of those oceans fell to Earth. This would also explain where the salt water came from on the planet, because all the water on this planet is everything that comes up in spring. It's been, we've got spring water, precipitation, it's all fresh. Where does all this salt water come from? There's talk of the chaotic waters of Tiamat mixing with the sweet waters of Absu. Earth was Absu. The chaotic waters would suggest salt waters. You know, so there's all sorts of stuff like that. All possible.
No, there's a lot of space weather sort of attention coming now over the fact that, you know, the whole 2012 alignment in our the Milky Way galaxy with the center of the galaxy, the system with solar system with the center of the galaxy. But then there's this astronomical knowledge now, there's more awareness getting around of the fact that we're traveling through, you know, the galaxy and the galaxy through the universe and these orbits within orbits into denser phases of encountering more cosmic rays, encountering space dust, encountering Oort clouds, and things which basically will affect us here on Earth very dramatically.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's quite likely that it would. I mean, the Earth is moving. It's really, really stepping out. I did actually post a YouTube clip actually on to demonstrate how fast a person was actually moving and sitting at the equator, and they're going over a million miles an hour, over a million miles an hour.
Wow.
You know, so in seven different directions at once.
That was, you know, one of my thinking of things behind, like, say, the chemtrails. It seemed to be that maybe they weren't dumbing down, but they were trying to, like, stitch or repair or shield or block whatever these incoming stellar radiation energies which may awaken, you know, right on schedule. They're trying to... It seems like on planet Earth, there's this suppression agenda through the food, through the fluoride, through the information, and physically in the sky or with technology to block out and keep our little bubble, a little dominion unto itself.
Yeah, I reckon a lot of... I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in the chemtrails, but I reckon a lot of their purpose is to block out the skies because, I mean, we never get to see anything around here. It's cloudy almost every day, you know. And a lot of people ask me, oh, can you see this, can you see that? They're hearing all these reports of things in the sky. I can't see the sky. So quite possibly. But there's been reports of all sorts of things in the chemtrails. I really think the human race is being genetically modified. We're being changed into another species. Because they don't need anyone as smart as what we are now. And they're working towards just having this little worker race that'll control the machine for them. But the whole system is us, and it's all created from fear. And I think a lot of people are waking up to it. A lot of people are waking up to all this whole mechanism that's in place. They're starting to realise what they are, which is actually an electrical being, an energy being, having this experience. And they're going, hey, it's all just an idea. You know, all we have to do is connect with each other and it all changes. That's the way to save the world. Just stop participating in the system. Because the system is just an idea.
How do we do that when we seem to need some of the physical resources of the system while they're still there? You know, at the same time as we're awakening, a lot of people I know, you know, have got one foot in the system, one foot outside the system. But yeah, when do we jump? When do we do the jump? How do we do the jump?
Well, if we're going to have technology, we need to make it sustainable. We need to make it efficient. We need to build things to last. I mean,
but every time everyone comes up with a free energy device, boom, they're taken out.
Well, that's why the people need to say that. Well, everyone needs to know this. The people need to know what's going on and realise, see this system for what it is. This is why I speak out so much. People need to see the system for what it is and just all stop. If everybody stopped, imagine if everyone went, aha, one day, and everyone just stopped and went, hey, turn to the government and said, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. We tried it your way and it doesn't work. Look at the Earth. So what we want to do is we want to put honest people in the government. We're not interested in all the corporate stuff. We want all the corporations' charters revoked straight away and just start running things properly. You know, start running things as normal businesses. And step number one is to take the interest off money. Take the interest off money, because that's why the world's being raped as much as it is. That's why they're out fracking looking for coal and everything's so expensive because of the interest-based monetary system. So take the interest off money straight away.
That's just back thousands of years, doesn't it? Like, you know.
Absolutely. Well, that's what Christ was crucified for.
Yeah, the money lenders in the temple.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was fine until he overturned the tables of the money changers and ended up there within a week. You know, who do you think put up the 30 pieces of silver? Who had 30 pieces of silver to put up? You know, the money changers, the bankers. You know, he was fine until he spoke out against the money system.
So it just goes back thousands of years. I mean, this is the average attention span of a person is about less than 5 minutes these days. And I think they count on that these days, you know. But I mean, do you think there's also some type of equal and opposite pull here? I mean, the best case scenario, all this stuff is happening. There are these people or concerted efforts of peoples over tens or thousands of years to do this. But is it necessarily evil, or is it in the sense of this is what we need to come together to a critical mass of a species awakening, which is what we seem to be going through at the moment because of the pressure put on us? You know, like in nature, you need 6 million years of pressure for coal to become diamond. Could perhaps all this be happening for our greatest good?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we wouldn't be waking up if this wasn't happening. If things weren't becoming as negative as they are, people wouldn't be waking up. But it's people that wake up angry. That's the problem. They wake up and then they feed the system. They wake up and they want to attack it. You've got to wake up and be realize, have the aha moment and go, hang on, we're all in this together, and it's just an idea. All we have to do is stop going along with it, stop participating with it. It's the people that wake up angry, because if we wake up and go into violent revolution, well, what's the energy then? You know, that's the problem.
They love revolutions. Put a new figurehead in place.
Well, no revolutions ever work, because human consciousness has never evolved enough to feel free. People have never truly come to terms with the fact of who they are. You know, we could go and overthrow the government, and then we'd want to put a new government up there and say, now you guys look after it and do a better job than they did. Yeah. And they might for a little while, but eventually it'll get corrupted and so it'll go down that thing. See, we never grow up. We leave our parents and we look for new parents. We look for a government.
So instead of a revolution, it's like we need, you know, a system upgrade.
We need an evolution of consciousness.
Yeah.
We need to realize that we are free. We are all totally responsible for ourselves. And if we all start treating each other as ourselves, the whole world changes. It's really that simple. That's all we have to do.
It's a perennial message, though. But it's taken this long, it still hasn't, you know, gotten through to enough people. There's firewalls in place, cultural firewalls, all the isms.
Well, that's why you have to try to lead by example. I mean, I don't know how else to do it. It's just lead by example. Try to treat everybody the way you would be treated. Because if you do that, your whole life changes. Mine has. Absolutely. Everything has changed in my life since I started treating other people exactly the way I would want to be treated. If I get angry with someone, if I see someone doing the wrong thing, I'll try not to attack them for what they're doing, but I'll think, okay, if I was that person and I was at that position in life and I was doing that to someone else, how would I want someone to point that out to me in a way that would change me and improve my life and make me stop and think about myself so that I don't have to go through all the things that I did go through when I did that. You know, because the only way you really learn is by making mistakes yourself. That's the only way true wisdom is acquired. You've got to go and make mistakes. You can read about wisdom and sit there and preach how wise you are, but until you've gone out and messed up and made mistakes in your life and gone, you don't have any real learning, you know. So you can look at all this and you can think, okay, well, how would I want someone to approach me with that? And that's the way I'll try to approach people. I'll direct anger where it's needed, but never with animosity, never with malice or ill intent.
Would you call yourself a mimetic revolutionary?
A what?
Mimetic revolutionary?
Yeah, I don't know.
We're just saying revolutions don't work, so.
Well,
mimetic systems analyst.
A revolution would work, but it's got to be accompanied by an evolution of consciousness. A revolution simply takes you back to the beginning, and then you go through and you do it all again. You need to evolve. You need to emotionally and consciousness, you know, your evolution of consciousness. That's what you need. But, you know, we've got to start thinking in different terms. We've got to start seeing people for what they are, seeing each other for what they are. That's why I talk about cellular biology so much. I talk about the makeup of the body, the nature of the atom, the fact that there's no real matter, the fact that everything's energy, the fact that your heart generates energy fields. When you're talking with people, you're having energy exchanges. And you can feel energy with people in different... Now you go, you feel uncomfortable with someone around you. You feel, you know, you can feel energy. You really can. So when you can learn to talk energetically, you know, talk emotionally, realize your emotions are a language. I talk about this all the time on the shows because I believe it gives people a higher understanding of reality. And when they've got that understanding, they move away from the fear. They realize this is just an experience, and why would I have a problem with anybody? Why would I have a problem with anybody else? You know, I mean,
it just doesn't make sense, you know.
Talking about the fear and the mistakes that we make so we can become wise, I've got to ask you, what's going on with Japan? Like, what happened there? What are they not telling us? And it seems to be getting worse. It seems to be, like, exponentiating through the ecosystem.
Well, Japan is shocking. Japan is probably the worst disaster the world has faced, really.
And again, they're using language to downsize it and to marginalize it, and you don't see it in the papers anymore.
Oh, yeah, I know. Now, Japan will end up... it's already 10 times worse than Chernobyl. It's you've got a lot of out-of-control reactors there. It's right next to the ocean. It's releasing huge amounts of radiation. And you've got 3 reactors in meltdown. You've got this cooling pond in reactor 4, which is just going off. And everything they've done, they've done it on purpose, because things like pumping salt water on there...
They had to, didn't they? Because they couldn't... They had no other water, they said.
Well... It's ridiculous. The nature of a reactor, you've got zirconium in there, zirconium pipes, and these all react with salt water. The salt itself gets in there.
And it accrues
all over the components, so then you can't cool them down because they're covered in salt.
Yeah.
No matter how much water
you put in there. I think they're in a catch-22 situation from what I've read. They knew it was going to destroy the plant by putting salt water in there, but they had to because they had no other choice to try at their time.
Well, even having them built there, I mean, the plants were designed by General Electric and Westinghouse.
Mm.
They're put there right on a fault line.
Mm.
I mean, nuclear energy is dangerous anyway, and putting them right on a fault line, it's insanity. It's an accident waiting to happen. I mean, of all the places in the world not to put a nuclear power plant, Japan is number one. You know, I mean, it's the junction of 4 tectonic plates, and what's going on there? You've got, you know, reactor 3 with MOX fuel in it, which is way more polluted than uranium.
It's like a heavier, more intense type of...
Well, it's a mix between plutonium and depleted uranium and all sorts of stuff. It burns a lot hotter. It's a lot harder to control. And it's a lot more pollutive, and it's already 10 times worse than Chernobyl, and it's not stopping anytime soon.
So it's seeing very mainly on the internet.
It's 50 meters from the ocean too.
Well, it's in the ocean now. A lot of the radioactivity seeped into the ocean. They're warning, you know, not to eat fish, not to, you know, Japan's exports are getting banned in some countries.
No, it's the end of Japan.
Yeah, right. Well, economically and
absolutely. Also, Japan will never ever recover from this.
Mm.
Japan, I mean. We'll be lucky if in another 15 years Japan isn't like a third world country.
Well, here's the thing though, I mean, there's Japan, there's the physicality, there's the people in danger physically, and there's, you know, for radiation issues, and then there's the radiation in the water outside Japan, and then there's the clouds of radiation that may or may not have seeped into other countries.
Yeah, well, it's global, it'll go global.
It's going global.
And then the whole northern hemisphere, like, I wouldn't want to be in the northern hemisphere anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's all getting up into the jet stream and it's falling all over the place. There's also been reports that they might be adding plutonium to chemtrails as well, so the whole thing's deliberate.
And then on top of that, then you've got the economic collapse. You know, Japan owned like about a third of America's debt, and now they've had to sell off that debt to prop up their own economy. But it's this house of cards that seems like if Japan goes down, their economy, the global economy, could follow suit.
Mm. Oh yeah, very likely. It'll have a huge blow on the global economy. But the global economy, I don't know how it can last much longer anyway. I mean, America is virtually gone. China's basically in control of America now.
Mm.
And China simply isn't going to lend America $14 trillion next year, the way it did last year. So America isn't going to have an economy next year.
All these vectors seem to be converging in the very immediate future, isn't it? Like, there's ecological, absolutely. There's economical, there's, you know, awakening, there's crises after crises. There's also all the earth changes. Yeah. Right on target for the 2012 is...
Oh, absolutely, you know, of course. Well, and, you know, what people have to understand is the opportunity that it all provides. It's the opportunity for us to realise what the problem is, to participate in reality around us in the right energetic state. That's all you have to do. Stand up and address this situation. And the way to address it is to connect with each other. You know, if I treat you as myself, and I do that exponentially out through the community, then why would anyone be fracking? Why would anyone be building nuclear power plants on fault lines? Mm. Why would anyone be profiting from anybody else? Why would anyone be ensuring that someone else's life was made more difficult by them? You'd be going out of your way to make other people's lives better because they are in contact with you. And by that happening, they would be doing the same for you. Mm. Especially if you go out and help 15 friends in one day, suddenly you've got 15 people who help you.
Mm.
So, you know.
Well, that's what we often see in crisis. You saw the floods in Queensland and elsewhere around the world. You know, it brings people together. All the other stuff goes out the window and community becomes...
Well, the world's in crisis now. It's in crisis now. It's been in crisis for a long time.
Yeah.
Just people distracted from it because they're kept segregated. They're kept educated by televisions. They're too caught up in their Xboxes, their computers, their TVs, their sex life, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're not paying attention. But the Earth's in crisis, and we need each other. We really, really need each other. And, you know, come on, guys, get with the program.
All right. Excellent. Get with it. Get with the program, exactly. And there's time for that activation.
Mm. Non-compliance to the system and only compliance to each other. Start to love each other. Realize who and what we are. Connect with each other. Help everybody you can around you, and the whole world changes in 3 seconds.
In Lakesh, Max Egan.
In Lakesh.
Love you, brother.